Is the Trinity in the Bible? Is the Trinity in the Bible? By that we mean, is the doctrine of God's nature that we come to understand, is it in the Bible? That we believe God is one God in three persons. He is a Trinity. So the question is that in the Bible? A couple of weeks ago, Kim and I took a vacation, as you know, but you may not know where we went on our vacation. And we had the joy to go visit my brother and his wife. That's not the joy part. I'm getting to the joy part. I mean, it was fun to see them and everything. Don't misunderstand. But they live in the Cayman Islands, so we got to go visit them. We've been trying to get down there for a couple of years since he's been working there, and we're delighted to go see them in the beautiful Caribbean. Now, I had never been to the Caribbean. I know some of you have, and the rest of us just been imagining what it looks like. But it's hard to describe the Caribbean. It's hard to describe standing on the beach and looking at that beautiful, crystal clear blue water. When you wade out in the water, you can see your feet. It's that clear. There is no surf, no waves. It's just beautiful, pristine water off of the island. So in that water, people like to do all kinds of water sports, but one of the favorite things people like to do is snorkeling, and they snorkel all around in that area. Now, as the water spreads out from the island, you can see out in the distance what looks like a dark band that encircles the island, and that's the reef. The reef actually from which Grand Cayman Island was created, what it came from. But that reef is out there, and on the other side of the reef, suddenly the water gets dark. If you can see it from that distance, and you certainly can see it flying over, the water gets dark. Well, the reason is that's where the water gets deep and the ocean begins. So on the beach side of the reef, people snorkel and they swim and they have water sports and they'll snorkel almost out to the reef. In fact, my sister-in-law loves to snorkel, and I sat on the beach and I watched her as she was snorkeling, and she just sort of swam away. And she just disappeared to an extent, but you could see that little snorkel going off into the distance. And she would stop now and then if she saw something interesting and even go below the water and come back up all the way to the reef and back. But on the other side of the reef, there was no one snorkeling. That's the depth of the ocean. And it could be imposing when you consider how dark it is, because you might think, well, I don't want to go there. That's dark water. It's dark, though, because it's deep, not because it's bad. And it's deep because it's full of riches that you wouldn't see just snorkeling. But if you were scuba diving, you could go down in the deeper part of the water. In fact, my brother and sister-in-law do both. They snorkel and they scuba dive, and they told us great stories of scuba diving in different parts of the Caymans and how different that is from snorkeling. So on the shore side of the reef, people snorkel, the water's clear, and they go only so deep. But on the ocean side of the reef is where the diving takes place. We spend most of our lives studying the Bible on the shore side of the reef. We spend most of our time studying the Bible, looking in the clear part of the water, seeing what we can see without going too deep, and we get used to that. Now and then, it's good to go to the other side of the reef and scuba dive a little bit. It's good to go deep. And this morning's question is going to take us deep. We're going to dive deep into the riches of the very nature of our God. We talk a lot about the things God does for us. That's great. We need to see that. That's on the clear side of the reef, the shore side, all the things God does for us. We know that God loves us. We know of God's grace. We know of God's mercy, and we sing about that. But now and then, we need to look at God more closely and realize the majesty and magnificence and the nature of our God. The question, is the Trinity in the Bible, is answered, yes. God reveals himself in the Bible as one God in three persons. That's what we're going to explore this morning. You say, well, Pastor Bob, I don't really understand that. Well, good for you. I don't either. The good news is we don't have to understand it to know that it's true and to know that God has revealed himself in the Bible. And the reason we don't understand it is we're not God. But he is. And the Bible shows us he has revealed himself as Trinity, as a Trinity, one God in three persons. Let me give you an example of this this morning. As we move forward this morning, we will do what we have been doing in this message series, looking at several passages of Scripture. I invite you to look with me this morning, or you can just go look them up at a later time. They'll be on the screen for you as well. But even at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, at creation, God reveals himself to be one God in three persons. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, very simply, in the first two verses of the Bible, it's revealed to us that God and God's Spirit are together. And we come to understand as the Scripture moves forward that this is speaking of God the Father who orchestrated creation and God the Holy Spirit who participated in creation. But not only that, the Bible teaches that God the Son participated in creation as well. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes the nature of Christ and the power of Christ. And in chapter 1 and verse 16 of Colossians, Paul says, "For everything was created by him." Now he's speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth." Now I thought we just read that God and the Spirit created the heavens and the earth. That's right, but the Son of God did as well, because they are one God in three persons. The Son of God participated in creation with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' ministry, we see also revealed that God is a Trinity, one God in three persons. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 describes Jesus' baptism this way. "After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there came a voice from heaven, 'This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him,'" or "in whom I am well pleased." Right there at the baptism of Jesus, you have the Son of God being baptized and coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove, and the Heavenly Father speaking at that moment, audibly, so he could be heard. Father, Son, and Spirit. The Bible describes Jesus' incarnation as the Son of God, and when John the Apostle describes this, he includes the Heavenly Father. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, "The Word became flesh and took up residence among us." He dwelt among us. That's the Son of God. "We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, the Bible reveals and assumes the nature of God is that God is one God in three persons. One God in three persons. This is the assumption of the Bible. It undergirds everything else the Bible talks about. We call that the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. It's our descriptive term for what we understand about the nature of God. That he is triune. That is, he is one God in three persons. I can't begin to underscore the significance of this for us. Our belief, as revealed in the Bible, that God is one God in three persons is the foundation for everything else we believe. So it is threaded throughout the Bible. It's revealed throughout the Bible as God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit interact with God's people. We see it at the beginning in creation. We just saw it. We see it in Revelation at the end. We see consistently this is our God. He is one God in three persons. Now, occasionally, someone will try to illustrate that by explanation. What is the Trinity? And sometimes you hear different illustrations of it. Every single illustration we have of the Trinity has a flaw in it. It is naturally weak because there's simply no way to describe or illustrate what we're talking about, the nature of God as one God in three persons. Let me give you an example. Occasionally someone will say, "Well, let me illustrate that this way. The sun up in the sky is one planet, and it has heat, and it has light, and it has rays." And they'll say, in much the same way, God is one God in three persons. And as far as it goes, that's not a bad illustration, but it has a basic flaw to it. You see, the sun, the planet, does have light, it does have rays, it does have heat, but those are all modes of expression, so to speak. That's the way we experience the sun, as heat and light And when the sun goes down, do you see the light? Do you see the heat? Do you see the rays? No. Because those are modes of expression. But the Bible does not say that Father, Son, and Spirit are modes of expression that come and go for God. No. Our God, always and eternally and timelessly, is one God in three persons. Another illustration we often use. Someone might say, well, you know, Pastor Bob is a man. He's one man, and he's a pastor, and he's a husband, and he's a father. And we often use that to illustrate the Trinity, that God the Father, that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. Like Pastor Bob is one man, but he's a pastor, and he's a husband, and he's a father. As far as it goes, that's not a bad illustration, but it has one basic flaw, and that's that me being a pastor and a husband and a father are all roles that I play in this life. It's true it's the same person doing them, but those are roles, not distinct persons. And the Bible teaches that Father, Son, and Spirit are not roles that God is playing. Each of those, Father, Son, and Spirit, had a particular part to play in creation and salvation and the history of the world, and we'll see that shortly. But Father, Son, and Spirit are not roles that God plays. That's God. God is one God in three persons. We have no conception of what that's really like. We can only try to illustrate it in our own flawed manner. But get our minds around this. Our God reveals himself as one God in three distinct persons. Bible-believing Christians are the only people on planet Earth and in history who believe that. Let me say that again. Bible-believing Christians, those of us born again in Christ who believe the Bible, we are the only faith or religion right now, today, or in history that believe God is one God in three persons. Even cults that claim to be Christians don't believe that. That's why we call them cults. They're not biblical Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that the Holy Spirit and the Son are equally God with God the Father. Mormons do not believe that the Holy Spirit and the Son are equally God with God the Father. Muslims do not believe that God is one God in three persons. They think we worship three gods. Jews do not believe that God is one God in three persons. You can drive into Wilmington and there is a building that says it's a church. It's a Unitarian church. The reason it's called Unitarian is to magnify the fact they are not Trinitarian. They do not believe God is one God in three persons. You and I sitting here, and in every other Bible-believing Christian church in America, the people sitting there this morning are the only people in history and in the world and in religion and in faith that believe that this is our God. But we cannot underscore too much, we cannot emphasize too much how important this is. That God reveals himself in the Bible as one God in three distinct persons. The joy of it is that God wants us to know him. God wants us to know Father, Son, and Spirit. God, that's how God wants us to know him. That's how we experience him. And when we come to faith in Christ, and we get to know the Son of God, we get to know the Spirit of God, we get to know the Heavenly Father. God wants us to know him, just as he is, one God in three persons. This morning I want us to consider how significant this is, how this matters for us in our faith as believers in Christ. I've already said we are the only ones who believe this, those followers of Christ who believe the Bible, we're the only ones who believe this Trinitarian doctrine about God. But why does that matter to us? Well, for a moment, let's consider this. First of all, the Trinity matters for you to know that you are saved. The Trinity matters for you to know that you're saved. If God is not one God in three distinct persons, you and I are not saved. If God is not one God in three distinct persons, you and I and no one else can be saved. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit work together distinctively and specifically to make your salvation happen and to hold you for eternity. Take one of them out, and you're not saved. You're not saved. And neither am I. The Bible reveals it this way. God the Father orchestrates our salvation. Just as He orchestrated creation, God the Father orchestrates, administrates salvation. He sees the big picture and He puts things in place. God the Son purchased your salvation for you. He paid the price for your sin, which had to be done by God Himself. And God the Holy Spirit, when you put your trust in Christ, God the Holy Spirit activates your salvation. He brings it to you, He houses Himself in you, and He seals you for the day of redemption. They work together to make your salvation happen. Let's look at some scriptures together about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Again, the Bible assumes this. It reveals this, that Father, Son, and Spirit work together for our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says, "Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." All three, Father, Son, and Spirit, participate in establishing our salvation in Christ, and then the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Peter is even more specific. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure," he tells believers. The Apostle Peter wraps up salvation in terms that include all three. God the Father orchestrates it, God the Son purchases it with His blood, and God the Holy Spirit activates it and brings the grace of God to you, saves you from your sins. All three work together to produce in you the work necessary for salvation. He did that for all of us. God is one God in three persons. Second, the Trinity matters for the Christian life. The Trinity matters for living the Christian life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." All three together involved in helping you live the Christian life. And the fellowship that we experience as believers is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. If there has been any stumbling block in our study and understanding of the Trinity over generations, it's been the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We struggle with that when, for generations, we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot, and we still have grave misunderstandings about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. Now and then, we'll reveal that understanding when we talk about misunderstanding when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we speak of Him as an it, as if He is a force, as if the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God as some sort of force among us, like the Star Wars force, and we say, "May the Spirit be with you." We mean the same thing as if the force be with you. But that's not what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. He is equally God with the Father and the Son. And He is a person, not an it. And the very power of God is brought to you in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus described the coming of the Holy Spirit after He departed. He said, "The Spirit of God will come." And this is what He said, John 14, verse 16. "I will ask the Father," there's the Heavenly Father, "and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth," Father, Holy Spirit. "The world is unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you do know Him because He remains with you and He will be in you." The Son of God describing the work of the Heavenly Father and the coming of the Holy Spirit, a Trinity, one God, three persons. And the Lord Jesus Himself described the Holy Spirit as another Counselor, as we read it. Literally, it's another advocate, meaning an advocate in the courtroom, one who would stand with you, walk beside you, and stand for you throughout your Christian life. And since Jesus was going to be with the Father, he knew that you and I would need another advocate, and the Holy Spirit would come. The Bible teaches that our walk with Christ, our Christian life, is dependent on this truth. God is one God in three persons. As you walk through this life as a believer in Christ, you live your Christian life for the Father. You live your Christian life to glorify and to honor the Father. You live your Christian life in Christ. The Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ. The Apostle Paul loved that term. He said, I am in Christ. I used to be out of Christ. Now I'm in Christ. My life is in Christ, he said. My life is hidden with God in Christ. You live for the Father. You live in Christ. And you live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the power of God in your life to overcome temptation and to become more like Christ. The Bible calls that sanctification, literally becoming holy. It means the Holy Spirit is making you to the person that God wants you to be. He wants you to be more like Christ, and you and I can't do that by ourselves. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who walks with you, who helps you, who convicts you of sin, who fills you with the power of God, who teaches you how to pray, who illuminates the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God doing that for you. In this Christian life, you and I live for the Father, to honor Him, to glorify Him. We live in Christ who has saved us from our sins, and we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take one of those away, and what do you have? We need all three. All three are necessary for us to live the Christian life. Then last, the Trinity matters for the mission of the church. The Trinity matters for the mission of the church. The Bible very clearly teaches that the church is not the church, and we can't do the business of the church except that God is God in three equal persons. When Jesus gave us our marching orders in Matthew chapter 28, and verse 19, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus assumes the nature of God is one God in three persons. And when you are baptized in the body of Christ, you are baptized in an acknowledgement that you belong to all three of them, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, those who created the church, and now you are part of the church. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, Jesus says to his disciples, as they are quizzing him on when the Heavenly Father is going to wrap things up and finish time, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Did you notice all three are there? The Heavenly Father orchestrates the time, Jesus said. The Heavenly Father decides the time when history will wrap up. In the meantime, he says, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God will come on you. He will come. He will ignite the church. And you will be my witnesses, Jesus said, the Son of God's witnesses, until time wraps up. We can't explain the Trinity. We don't have a way to grasp it. How to explain God? How do you do that? But we know it to be true that our God is one God in three persons. And our God wants us to know Him, all three persons. And all three persons know you. And all three persons worked to save you, to bring you to Christ, to save you from your sins. And all three persons are working in your life now to make you more like Christ. And all three persons, our God, is moving history toward its conclusion. The great truth of Scripture is that we can know Him. He hasn't hidden Himself from us. He has come to us in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And the Son of God came to us so we could know the Father. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How could He say that if they were not but one God? And He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, because He's like me, another advocate, just like me. How could He say that if they were not but one God? We don't have to understand it, to believe it, to know it, and to love it, and to see that God himself loves us enough to orchestrate history so that we could be saved. I said a little while ago that all the illustrations are flawed. Even with that, I'm going to give you another one. Let's suppose for a moment that there is a forest fire and there's a rescue needed, that someone's trapped in a forest fire, and a helicopter pilot, a fireman, hears of that, and he brings on board two other firemen, and they head out into the forest to rescue this person who's caught in a forest fire. And the helicopter pilot finds the right location, and he lowers down another fireman on an extended rope, and they go down to the person in need of a rescue, and the fireman gets into the woods, and he hunts down, he finds that person, he wraps his arms around them, and he pulls them over to the rope, and they both hold onto the rope, and they both are carried back up to the helicopter to safety, rescued, safe, and secure, and off they go. In that illustration, the Heavenly Father is like the pilot. He sees it all. He sees all of history. And he is orchestrating the events that brought you to Christ, and he is orchestrating the events that bring other people to Christ, because he knows who's lost and who needs to be saved. And the Son of God is the rescuer who goes into the fire, who came to earth, who dwelt among us to rescue us, to wrap his arms around you, and to take you home. The Spirit of God, I know it's a weak illustration, but the Holy Spirit is like the rope that facilitates the whole thing. He keeps it going, keeps it working between us and God, so that you can communicate, you can get there, because God loves you that much. Your God loves you that much. I don't have to be able to explain God to know that he loves me. I don't have to explain God to know that he's been gracious to me. And I don't have to explain God to know how much I need Jesus Christ. Do you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, maybe there's one or two in here this morning who know they need Christ as their Savior. To trust the Son of God who died on the cross for their sins to have eternal life. Maybe there's one or two in here, God, who would say today, I need Jesus. And ask Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. God, how I pray, you would show us if we're lost, God, in need of Christ, and we would trust Christ today. And Father, maybe there's a believer in here that it's really just dawned on us today how magnificent, how wonderful you are. How your love for us, God, how great you are, and yet you love us anyway. God, you've shown us that love in Christ. And Father, I pray that we would come back to you, we would serve you, we'd be faithful to you. If there's just one in here, God, who needs to repent of sin, who needs to come home, God, I pray we'd do that today. Father, my simple prayer is that you'd move in our midst as we praise you today for all you are, for all you do for us, God. Today, Father, I pray you'd move in this place, draw people to Christ, draw us to you, let us know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.